Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two, live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On this Friday around the country, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. I told Tiki yesterday, we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds in a moment. And it's some good questions. Yomas DeSell came up with some good ones. And I said to Tiki yesterday that and it's actually embarrassing, being that I went to Catholic school my entire life, first through eighth grade, grammar school, Jesuit high school. I didn't realize that Lent ended yesterday.
Yes, you got to have a kid.
Yeah, on Holy Thursday. Mm-hmm. I just assumed that it coincided with Easter, you know? So I said I was going to go nuts with candy last night.
And?
I didn't. I abstained, which means I'm going to go extra nuts on Sunday. I mean, I turn into a slob on Sunday morning. You know what my favorite candy? And I'm not a huge chocolate guy, but you know the cat? I hope Mr. Easter Bunny brings a few of these.
Yes.
The Cadbury cream eggs.
With
it looks like yolk.
It's like
white milk chocolate.
It's like
the
caramel,
yellow.
Like with caramel. Yeah. Yeah,
well, they have a caramel one.
Yeah.
And then they have one that's actually conventionally, like, looks like an egg. When you open it up, it's got like white liquidy chocolate.
Yeah.
Those things are good,
those
man.
Those just always grossed me out a little bit.
Did you really? The problem is,
it's just weird. Like, the consistency is odd.
Really?
Yeah. Just like, what is this? Like,
liquid chocolate, I guess. It's like fondue, I guess.
Yeah,
you want to look
is.
At it that way.
It is. It was just always odd to me.
It's a little tricky getting the wrapper off, though, because it's got that, like, that tin foil, and it's one of those things where it's like they're cutting the grass at Augusta,
like
the vacuum green.
Like vacuum sealed.
I can't get to it.
The chocolate.
Come on, give me access before the kids get it. All right, Teak, we will get to, I can't wait to have this conversation coming up next segment, and it's going to be a good one. And quite frankly, I'm not even sure where I officially stand on this yet. But if the Thunder lose this series, down 0-2, I think most of us expect them to probably rally and win a game tonight, or mm-hmm. at least push this thing a little deeper. They're not going to get swept, I don't think. But if they do lose the series, is it definitive proof that Paul George made the wrong choice, aligning himself with Russell Westbrook?
Interesting.
That's going to be a good one. So get your answers ready on that. Get your answers ready for inbounds and out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Here we go, buddy. As we pointed out yesterday, the NFL seemed to not give the Buccaneers, well, it says here, a real fair shake. I could say much of a chance this season.
Yeah.
It's the worst schedule I've ever seen in my life.
This is pretty bad.
This is horrendous. It's unnecessarily horrendous.
Very rarely do you talk about it being epically bad.
Correct. We point out the good stuff. We might say, well, this is a tough trip like for our individual teams.
And it's always because, man, they got to play that team and then that team and then that team.
Or
and then
maybe
that team.
East to west or west to east kind of mixed in. But this encompasses everything. How about this Tampa? 49 days without playing a home game this season. That's ridiculous. And during the nearly 50-day span, they'll travel over 20,000 miles to play the Rams, good team, Saints, good team, and the Panthers, good team when healthy, in London, by the way, with the Panthers. So, they've got the Titans.
Good team.
Pretty good team.
Yeah.
And they've got Seattle. Russell Wilson's on it. Good team. Well, it seems the NFL's recognized their mistake. Mm-hmm. Mike North, who we've had on the show before, very good, friends with Samther. The NFL's senior director of broadcasting told SiriusXM NFL Radio, quote, "If we had a redo, I would love to take another shot at the Tampa schedule. I'm not sure that's really fair to their fans," end quote. What about the Bucs?
Yeah, it's not fair to the players.
We'll bear the consequences of maybe not winning. In or out, the NFL publicly acknowledging their mistake with the Tampa Bay Bucs schedule is inbounds or out of bounds?
I'm going to say out of bounds. I'm glad that they did it, but I think it's out of bounds from their perspective because now they just opened themselves up for criticism. And if the Buccaneers have a horrendous season, the NFL is going to get the blame, not because Jameis Winston was terrible or they didn't address XYZ position on, you know, in the draft or develop these right guys. It's all going to be on the NFL, which I guess is okay. But I don't know. It's just odd because they never do this, ever. They never acknowledge mistakes, whether it was screwing up the Deflategate or messing up the Ray Rice original suspension. They never acknowledge these things. To do it like this before the season starts, it's telling. Maybe there's just a...
But you're still saying out of bounds.
I'm still saying out of bounds because it just opens them up for more criticism. I'm talking about from an NFL perspective.
Yep.
It's bad to acknowledge this egregious of a mistake, especially if it adversely affects the Buccaneers season.
Interesting. And here's the thing. The Bucs might not be good anyway.
You're right.
So you don't really know where's that line of delineation.
That's exactly
did they lose
right.
these games because of the
exactly
schedule?
Exactly right.
Or did they lose these
exactly
games because
right.
Jameis Winston isn't who they thought, blah, blah, blah. I say inbounds here. All the reasons you pointed to are the reason why I think this is inbounds, because transparency wins. Mm. We have been chasing this with great vigor for years. Just don't treat us like idiots.
Yeah.
Don't lie to us. Don't ignore us. Don't try to fool us. It's obvious, and they're going to get pounded anyway.
Yeah.
Because I complained about it yesterday on the show. I just brought it up. We were looking at the whole schedule. I brought it up. Obviously, they felt compelled, with Mike North, felt compelled to bring this up on Monday or apologize for it. Now, I know that this would never happen, but in baseball, you know how you protest a game?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Yankees did this in 83 with the Pine Tar. They ultimately lost, but you might protest a game, and if it's a bad, yeah, very rarely do you win. Imagine if the Bucks put in a preemptive protest of the season. How interesting. I mean, they would not win, but wouldn't that be wild?
That'd be
this
hilarious.
Is awful. This is weak for the Bucks.
Yeah.
But I do think the transparency, in hopefully maybe a new chapter for the NFL.
Yeah.
They realize they have to kind of look us in the eyes once in a while as consumers. Mm. I like it.
Yeah, like that pound per square inch football study that they did all last
the
couple of season. Yeah, that we never saw.
Are you in or are you out?
They've learned from their mistakes. UNC women's basketball coach Sylvia Hatchell submitted her resignation yesterday after an investigation found that Hatchell made racially insensitive comments to her players and encouraged players to play through injuries, going old school with the second part. The first part's obviously very different. It is important to note that UNC determined that Hatchell is not a racist, just lacked awareness, or I would insert the word acute awareness here, to help them out. Hatchell's been at UNC since 86.
Wow.
Dean Smith, 86, a couple of years after Jordan left. Think about that. And is a member of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame and is one of six women's D1 head coaches with over 1,000 wins. She's great. In or out, Sylvia Hatchell should coach Division I women's basketball again.
I'm going to say out of bounds to this BT, not because of the content of the reasoning behind her suspension and ultimate resignation, but because she's 67 years old. And over the last 5 years or so, she's 62 and 65. The other side of this conversation was that a lot of her players complained that when they had gripes with her, she just didn't respond to them. So it's almost like she's lost touch with how to coach the modern kids.
Interesting.
So I'm saying out of bounds because I think it's past her, not because she couldn't be a good coach. I think it's just past her.
You know, that's you framed that pretty interestingly. I'm going to give you that. I'm going to say in bounds, though, because I believe now pushing players through injuries.
I don't mind that.
I have no problem with that.
Not at all.
I really don't. Now, there's obviously, again, that line of delineation where the athlete could be put in position to forever compromise their body. We're stopping short of that.
Yeah.
But playing through a nagging hamstring, getting excessive, I don't mean getting needles either, but tape it up and grit it up, however you want to position it. I love that. And you do as well. So that's cool. In terms of maybe being past the point of expiration in terms of relating to the modern athlete, okay, 67's not young. It's not young, but I do believe her track record, and I'll get to the racial element or the racist element for a moment, in a moment.
Which we don't have a ton of context.
That's why I'm kind of pushing this down the road.
Because we have no idea what she actually said.
I want to be fair to everybody.
You're right. You have to be.
Yep. But I do think when you win over 1,000 games, even though the last couple of years have gone sideways, doesn't mean you can't resurrect your career at a different place.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just time to get off the campus in Chapel Hill and clear that
she's
gone.
She did make the tournament last year. After 3 years of missing it, she did make it last year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listen. I went to a smaller school, Division I. I went to Marist College in upstate New York. Now, our women's team is terrific. We made the Sweet 16 years ago. I mean, we've got a Northeast, you know, mid-major power, at although we've tailed off a little bit. But if the women's, here's my point, if the women's team at Marist didn't have a good program, I would say absolutely bring her in. The woman knows how to win.
Yeah.
Let her lead some student athletes, show them how to win. So I say in bounce.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T. The Red Sox. This is a really good question to sell. I couldn't wait to answer this. So the Red Sox were off last night. Doesn't mean all is well in Beantown. However, as we've noted, they're not playing crisp baseball. They're 6-13. And now some members of the team are starting to look into the future. All right. David Price told the media yesterday, quote, if we don't start playing better, J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, he's not getting traded. Mookie Betts is going nowhere. Maybe myself, you might, because I don't think they really care if you're there or not, one way or the other, could get traded. We're what, 30th in minor league systems? It's an astute observation, though, because that is a pressing concern in Boston. Now, Boston is 21st in runs scored, 29th in runs allowed. They're not hitting, not pitching, not fielding, not winning. In or out, if the Red Sox don't start to turn the season around by the end of April, they should begin to sell off their assets.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I mean, it's like 11 days left, so let's just say they have 11 games left. That'll be 40 or so, or 30 games. It's just too early for me to say cash it in. And there's still 130-something games left where things could turn around. If D-Cell had put this as the end of May,
yep,
maybe I'd say differently, because you'd lost it if you're 10 and whatever, 25 or whatever it may be. But I would say out of bounds. I think it's a little bit too early to start cashing in yet.
I totally agree. Out of bounds for me. And it's funny, I was going to use the same line. If it would have been May, although I was going to actually stretch it to June. You know, if D-Cell or DeSell would have written, you know, June, then it's maybe something to contemplate here. But I think more directly for me, I don't think the Red Sox do anything. And I know the Rays are competent, and I know the Rays are winning. They're 9 games over .500. They're good. And this is not a mirage. They're a well-coached team, well-skipper team. You know, the good organization. They catch the ball. They run the bases. They have a unique approach to pitching. Their system's good. The Rays are good. But the Red Sox should not do anything until the Yankees either fully flinch, which I don't believe they will, or get healthy. Because look at the Yankees. I mean, nobody's there. Yeah. Severino's out. I mean, Stanton's still out. Sanchez went on the
point.
Everybody's hurt. You know, Tulo's, not that he's really consequential to the season.
We knew he'd be hurt.
Just
not this soon.
True. Didi's coming back, hopefully sometime around the All-Star break. He had Tommy John surgery. Miguel Andujar, he's got a labrum issue. They say that he can hit more so than throw. Maybe he moves to first base because Greg Bird is hurt. They got all sorts of issues. But the Red Sox, they should not do anything until you find out, or until they determine truly who the Yankees are. And we don't know who the Yankees are yet.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, and I know that certainly, listen, I loved watching it, and I know that the Yankees had a little fun with it, but you can't overreact to a 2-game sweep to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying anybody really is, but the aesthetics of their season are ugly because the pitching is so bad.
You're right. It's right. You're not getting an ace performance from any of the guys that are should be or were formerly aces.
Chris Sale's 0-4.
I know.
I mean,
getting banged around.
Race.
It's not just because they're not scoring runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's given up a ton of them.
They got a lot of problems so far. And he did touch 97 the other night against the Yankees, which obviously for the Red Sox, his velocity was really low to start the year. You got to build up your arm strength. I get it. Maybe that's a little foreshadow of him getting healthy here. But it's not even Easter yet.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way to look at how the Red Sox should build their future. Way too early to act on that. All right, T, coming up next, let's answer the question. And we'll set it up again for you in case you just tuned in here, Tiki and Tierney. So, if the Oklahoma City Thunder, whether it's a broom or a 5 or 6 job or a 7-game series, whatever it equates to, if the Thunder don't advance past Portland up 2 games to zip or the Blazers, does that definitively cement a bad decision on the part of Paul George to align himself with Russ? We'll get to that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. On Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Ike Taylor's in the house. Ike's going to be in studio. He's actually on the other side watching the segment. So get a little hoops education. Talk a little Westbrook here. Ike is going to join us and talk about the draft. Of course, former longtime cornerback in the NFL. All right. So we all know and we all thought that it was a done deal. Paul George, LeBron, bang, here we go. Yep. LeBron's got his Robin. And it's going to just explode in L.A. Instead of crash and burn, it's been a complete unmitigated mess. Now, it hasn't been nearly as messy for Paul George in Oklahoma City.
No, it's been great for him, actually, in Oklahoma City. Until
until you factor in that he's two losses away from getting swept and going home and getting a year older, at least Westbrook getting a year older. And when you look at the finances, and without boring everybody with the numbers, just and I'll try to keep this simple because I know that the numbers could get overwhelming. Next year, they already have committed $146 million in payroll, all right, already, and that is number one in the NBA.
Yeah.
So the ability to improve their roster is nominal at best. Going to have to get ultra creative. In 2021, they already have by far the most money committed in terms of anybody per the cap. And in 21-22, they are, that's where it opens up a little bit. They drop to 10. Now, I mean, you're not going to have a top 10 or top 15 pick to get better. Mm-mm. You're not going to have the money or the space, I should say, to entice a dominant difference-making free agent to join you. Did he make the right decision?
So I look at this in two ways. In one stance, absolutely. He made $136 million, and he became the elite player on a big stage that he wasn't getting in other places that he was.
Talking about the Pacers. When he was with the Pacers, he wasn't getting that.
It just wasn't,
but he was going to get paid anywhere.
I'm not talking about that, but it wasn't the stage. The Pacers didn't have the visibility.
Yeah, they didn't have that cachet.
Didn't have the cachet. Exactly.
No, they don't.
That's the best word to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So he got it. And we saw it midway through the season, BT, when Russell Westbrook decided to stop trying to score 40 points a game and just become a distributor, triple-double machine. But Paul, go be the man.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got paid, and he became this elite player in a lot of people's minds because he was now playing with another superstar, but he was actually outshining that superstar in Russell Westbrook, who obviously was the MVP a couple of years ago. Now, with that being said, this happens in every sport, BT. You get into it, you got to make a name for yourself, and you got to get some money, and then ultimately you start saying, man, I'm getting a little bit older. He's 28 years old. He's going to be 29 next year. I got to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
At least I got to at least play for once.
The modern NBA is what we judge you by.
It's modern every sport.
That's true.
You know what I mean? At some point, you start saying to yourself, I want a ring,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to hold the trophy. And some people never get opportunities to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even get a chance to play in the final. From that standpoint, Paul George is absolutely in the wrong place because
mm-hmm.
he's an elite player,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's proven it after coming back from that horrendous, you know, fracture of his lower leg to rising back to an all-star level and being a superstar on the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's never going to get a chance to play for a championship the way that his roster is constructed. And as you just pointed out, there's no way they can fix it, mm-hmm. at least not in the short term. And that's got to be frustrating for him.
It's a problem. It's a problem. I mean, listen, he's making 31 this year. He's making 33 next season. He's making 35. Five. Just listen to those numbers. Really, when you just listen to those numbers, Paul George's doing great. Conversation's over. He's doing good.
That's more than I made in my career.
That's more than my entire family tree has ever made. And, well, maybe my kids will develop something down the road and they'll change that a little bit here. But, I mean, are you kidding me? $35 million? I mean, in a couple of years in a row, he's fine, all right? But, you know, to parse this at least, and it's important that you get into this direction, even though you and I are not prisoners of mm-hmm. how many rings do you have.
No,
it bothers me. I think it's shallow. I think it lacks some depth, clearly, but intelligence and perspective and nuance, and it drives me nuts when everything is based on, and people hold this as they use this as an argument. And,
right.
And quite frankly, Eddie House tried to do this with us the other day. I'm like, Eddie, relax. I mean, when he's, champion. All right, I get it. But that's not always the ultimate barometer. And I know that almost sounds counterintuitive to say that winning is not what matters most, but, maybe because I lived it with Ewing and mm-hmm. I grew up in a generation with great players who played with teams for 15, 17, 18 years, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Charles Barkley bounced around, I get that. But they never won anything. And, you know, I believe that, okay, maybe you can't cash in respect when you go to the store, when you go to the NBA trophy store. You can't say, hey, you know, I busted my ass for 2 decades and I got to a bunch of conference finals and I even played in the championship, but I just didn't win. You can't cash that out. You're not going to get a ring for that.
You're right.
But if you're a real sports fan, and you understand the journey and how hard it is and how some of these great players carry inferior teams to a level they have no business being at, that's why I don't just use the championship as the barometer. Now, having said that, this is also 2019. Mm-hmm. Those guys played in the 80s and 90s. So Paul George, you know, he can't get out of his contract. He's got a player option in 21-22.
Yeah.
And at that point, he's going to be 32 going on 33. Even if he reroutes and goes to a ready-made situation, and there's still no guarantees there, is he the player and will he have enough of an impact that will satisfy his competitive fibers? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I just know that in the short term, you watch the way that this team plays. You watch the way that Russell Westbrook, and we've talked about this many times, VT. He does what he's not good at, right? Hey, Ike, talking about Ike Taylor, who's in the studio with us. Hey, Ike, go play a middle linebacker, right? Go take on that fullback head first 5 times, 10 times a game. Right, and see if you're going to be successful. I could get crushed.
Yep,
right?
He's pretty thin. What are you about, buck 90 right now?
Exactly.
Less?
A little less.
A little less?
Yeah.
183?
183. Okay. So if Ike was playing middle linebacker,
yeah. he wouldn't be in the NFL very long.
Exactly, he wouldn't be successful. So why the hell is Russell Westbrook taking 10 three-pointers a game when he's making 10%?
Can I tell you why? Because he's allowed to. True. And that's the fundamental problem with the Thunder that I pointed out the other day.
And that's exactly right. And that's why they're not going to win the series against Portland. And even though Portland's a better seed, a higher seed than they are, you still felt like Oklahoma City was going to make this a series and maybe push it to 7 and maybe even steal it. Mm-hmm. Simply because they had a former MVP.
I picked the Thunder to win.
Who averages a triple-double in Paul George.
I picked the Thunder to win in 6 or 7. I think it's 6.
It's just not going to work. And it's frustrating to watch a great player in Paul George who we thought was going to put himself in a position to actually win a championship this past offseason. He decides to stay, and it was the wrong decision. Now, he's never going to say that. He's never going to come out publicly and say, man, I should have went to L.A.
No.
Man, I should have went to wherever. Whoever, Boston.
Maybe he should have stayed with the Pacers.
Maybe.
They're pretty good.
Maybe, but that was pre-Oladipo.
No, I know. They got him back, but they still have some other pieces on that team.
It was different,
but
still.
Sabonis is a good player. They got some players.
I don't fault him for leaving.
And they're winning without Oladipo.
But I don't fault him for leaving Indiana.
Me neither. I don't begrudge him for that. I'm just saying.
Indiana wasn't – they didn't resonate.
Yeah, but the Pacers with George – it's almost a waste. But the Pacers with George versus the Thunder with Westbrook and no George, I'll take the Pacers.
You're probably right, as ironic and crazy
Pacers
as that
are good.
Sounds.
Sabonis
right.
is a good player.
I don't disagree
Got
with
some
it.
Pieces.
I don't disagree you with know? It. But to answer your question, did he make a mistake? Yeah, I think he did.
Mm. And the other thing that's going to start whispering, you know, as he walks by, people are going to start saying, man, he's banged up a lot. Paul George is banged up a lot. It's hurt a lot.
You're right. Now he's got a shoulder injury.
You know?
Dealing with.
Give me 20 seconds on this. I'll give you the last word before we get the update from Ack. We have Ike coming and talk some football draft. Ike Taylor's in studio. If they win tonight, and let's just say it's so aesthetically stimulating. Let's say they win 117-94.
That's not happening, though.
Did you say
okay,
that it does?
It. Go ahead.
Do you wake up tomorrow and say, all right, now they really have a chance to maybe get back and steal this series.
No, I don't think they have
a
chance.
I would.
I don't think they have a chance to come back and steal this series.
Even if they win tonight?
Dame is too good. Damian Lillard is playing great right now. He's dialed in and focused not on both sides, BT.
Yeah.
And you know that. C.J. McCollum is obviously a good scorer. And we didn't see much of Enes Kanter last week in game two like we did in game one because he got in foul trouble early. I just think the Portland Trailblazers are constructed better and are playing at a higher level than they've ever played at. So I just don't see it.
Okay.
Are they going to get one or two? Yeah, of course, because Russell's going to score 40 in one of these games. But can they win this series? I just don't see it right now.
All right. I said I'd give you the last word on that. As much as I don't want to stick to my word, I'm going to. Let's get the update from Ack. We've got Ike right after that NFL draft. Here's Ack.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
The world's best, including Dustin Johnson, Francesco Molinari, Bryson DeChambeau, Jordan Spieth, heading to beautiful Hilton Head Island for the RBC Heritage this weekend on CBS. And so far, DJ's playing pretty well, -7. He shot a 67 today. He was 68 in round one, so Dustin's right there, first page of the board, a shot back. Shane Lowry, the Irishman, he's a pretty good player. He's -8. Let's see who else jumps out on the board. Charlie Hoffman's a name you should know if you watch golf. Billy Horschel's been playing pretty well. He's -5. Rory Sabatini, he's -5. Mooch. Matt the Mooch.
Get off Kuchar.
Nah, I'm never getting him off. That was weak what he did. I know he's a good guy, but the way he held
the
out.
He paid the guy.
He paid because he had to pay. We pressured him into pay. All right, Ike Taylor is with us, and he's in studio.
What's up?
Let your family know you're on the show. What do you
I called him early.
Attaboy. 12 years with the Steelers. Terrific player, cornerback.
Appreciate you.
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hanging in there. How y'all doing?
Good. We're doing good.
I see the weather finally broke clear. New York looking nice.
Finally.
Thank Jesus.
Looking nice, right?
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah.
Finally. It's been bad, though.
Yeah.
What is going on, speaking of clearing the weather, with your Pittsburgh Steelers? I mean,
what a mess.
I like Mike Tomlin. I know him for a long time. He coached Rondé down in Tampa before he ultimately came to coach up here. I think he's good with the guys. You know he's great with the guys.
100%.
But it just feels like drama can't leave them alone. What's up with them?
Got to keep everything in-house.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. Social media.
Yep.
Got to have enough we guys instead of me guys. Like back when I played, we kept everything in-house. Like the media couldn't dictate, couldn't get to none of us. Like if one of our guys didn't like a certain person in the media, none of us did. That's just how it was.
Yeah.
But the brotherhood was so thick in Pittsburgh at the time. Like I was telling somebody yesterday, like, man, we used to get cots and sleep in the locker room some days because we wanted to be around each other.
Oh, that's great. That's
it was all about we. Like, we used to talk to each other. When contract situations came up, we used to talk to each other like, okay, $3 million from another team after taxes to leave y'all for $1.7 million. Nah, I got to have $5 million after taxes to leave y'all boys. them the kind of conversations we had.
Yeah.
But we understood when you win, everybody get paid.
Yeah.
Everybody to get paid. Yeah. So when they get back to that we and keep everything off social media and keep a close knit and a brotherhood, they'll be back to potential championship.
Yeah, and you got two of them.
Yes.
So you know this from experience.
Yes, he's a champion twice. I admitted that. Okay. You're right. Social media, big part of it. But every team has social media. Every player's got multiple phones and multiple social media platforms. I don't see this happening with other teams.
That's what I'm saying. Look who winning. Like, Tom Brady and company, they keep winning, but you ain't going to hit a drama.
Well, Even the Dolphins don't have drama. Even the bad teams don't have this. Like, listen, I'm not trying to come at you twisted here, but even, like, you can't pass it off as, well, they got to stay off social media. The Steelers are dysfunctional. Like, there's no way around it.
Right.
Half the team doesn't like Ben, or at least half the team doesn't trust Ben.
Right.
They just jettisoned one of the best receivers I've ever seen. They didn't pay one of the best running backs I've ever seen. I mean, Mike Tomlin, I know, and I like Mike too, but the last two or three years, Mike's been on hot water or in hot water. Like, I think you're underrating just how messed up the Steelers are, man.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. You got to keep everything in-house, even if it is dysfunctional.
Yeah.
The media, us, we should know nothing about that. When you let us know, it's something to talk about every day.
Oh, we love it. Oh,
we need it. That's how we feel.
We need it. It's our oxygen.
So that's what I'm saying. When I played, the media knew nothing.
Yeah.
Even if they thought, and they probably was right, you still didn't know for sure what was going on. But now in that Pittsburgh still locker room, it's just like everybody talking and leaking. Like, that ain't how we roll in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Keep everything to a minimum and talk and say nothing.
Yeah. You played with Roman, right, Foster?
Correct.
So he was there. He just recently said, if you guys got anything to say, and it's different now because Antonio Brown's gone, and I'm not putting Le'Veon Bell in the same category because he is absolutely not the same. Le'Veon is the man.
See,
he gets lumped in with AB, but he's not AB at all.
Le'Veon, see, people don't know Le'Veon is the mediator for that locker room.
Really?
Was.
Like, Le'Veon keeps everything cool, calm, and collective in that locker room. He's just a natural hard worker, a funny guy, very competitive, but never disrespectful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He just couldn't get
he's
paid.
He's a barbershop kind of guy. Like, he'll start the conversation, get it fired up, move on to another conversation, get that conversation fired up. So he's that kind of guy. He's the the jingle piece, to that locker room.
Okay.
That's what I want to.
He's in my locker room, by the way.
He couldn't get paid though,
and the reason he could, it was just the upfront money.
Yeah,
he wanted. So it was like long term, it looked good. So from the outside looking in, it's like, okay, 5 years, $60 million. but I ain't getting my upfront money like y'all backload my contract.
And then you're going to cut me. I'll never see it.
I never see it. So I got it.
I don't blame him.
What I be trying to tell people, and Ramon, we're already going against the front office anyway.
Yeah.
As a player, you have to stick together.
Yeah. And so, that's what he said. He said, if you got issues, don't put it in the media. Tell me. Ramon said this. Tell me.
Okay, here's my problem with Mon, and I love Mon. So you say that now.
Yeah.
But when it was time for Le'Veon to get paid, you said something about Le'Veon.
That's a great point.
Not getting paid.
I think he rummaged through his locker, too, and stole stuff.
So here's the man law. It's a few man laws that we all abide for.
Yep.
If I'm in the bathroom with you and there's four stalls and the four stalls are empty, you can't use it beside me. If I'm in the first one, you got to go down to the fourth one. That's just a man law.
I'm with you.
That's a man law.
It's a good one.
Hey, the same, and I love Mon, but the same with Mon, like, Mon, we supposed to be on the same page. Like, when it's time for you to get paid, ain't nobody going to talk about your money and what you need to get paid on. Mm-hmm. So Le'Veon felt like he was going to come back, but it's like, and I tell people this, man, I'd rather have a clear peace of mind and sit out and miss out on this $15 million than to go back to a locker room where I know I'm not wanted and I have to fake it every day. Mm. If you listen to DeRozan from the Spurs.
Yep, DeMar DeRozan.
He went through, depression.
So yeah, he talked about that.
Yeah, and he talked Long, about it clearly. He talked about it. And he said, I wish everybody can have $1 million so everybody can understand money don't solve the problems whatsoever.
No.
So when I saw Le'Veon sit, I'm like, I was telling my homeboys, that man want a clear peace of mind.
Yeah.
Like right now, the money ain't the issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At all. He want a clear peace of mind, and he don't want fake going into that locker room, and he don't want the guys faking with him that they love him and they really don't.
Mm-hmm.
So he sat out a whole year. And we can talk about he'll never get that 14 back.
Yeah, that's all right. But he's fresh for my Jets.
I'd rather have that clear peace of mind than to put that stress on me being in the locker room at the time.
Let me just reset. I know you have something for him. I'm talking to Ike Taylor, two-time champ with the Steelers. 12 years in the NFL. He's with us in studio here on TC and Tierney. Good stuff.
Now, do you think, because BT just mentioned this, and just we'll get one more on the Steelers, then we'll top around to the draft and other things that are coming up in the next week or so. Should Mike Tomlin be on the hot seat?
That's my guy. So, again, I'm going to be biased. Like, Coach T just got to, just put that stamp of approval that he's the head guy. The thing with Coach T is, as a player, you love him to be your coach. Like, he lets you be you.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your personality is, you can be that 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, okay, it kind of got out of hand. So Coach T got to put that sheriff foot down.
Yeah. Is it too late? Because I think
I don't think it's ever too late.
Let me just express that, though, and I'm going to give you a chance to answer that. Because, it's almost like a parent who lets a kid run. Not that he lets a locker room run wild, but if you let your kid do whatever they want, and then all of a sudden when they're 15, you try to drop the hammer with all these rules, the kid's going to say, what, are you kidding me? I've been running the house for the last five years.
But the context here is that that problem child is no longer in the locker room.
Because you remove AB.
Yes.
Okay. Would you agree with that?
Well, it could be a few different avenues, but it's hard because once you make that kind of money between like a Le'Veon, a AB, a Big Ben, like it's hard to control one, a grown man, two, egos, two, confidence in those guys. Because those guys, we talking about top five quarterback, top five running back, top five receiver.
Top two receiver.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying five, depending on who you talk to, if somebody's biased about their team. So it's like, dang, I got top five at the three major positions. Dang, that's a lot of egos. Okay. So how I control all these egos? And they getting paid?
Yeah.
If they were all on their rookie deals,
yeah,
it'll be easy for a coach. Like, I can go out and sit you.
Yep.
I can bring somebody else in, but – $16-12 million a year per year, top five, top three positions. It's hard. So Coach T just got to really, I think, my personal opinion, just put that sheriff badge on him and just let him know, like, I'm in control.
Yeah.
So I think he will. At the same time, seven seems like, when I say seven, I say Big Ben.
Yep.
Seven seems like, his got a clear head, talk to a few of his teammates. Now he wanted to know what was going on, if it was true how people just thought about him. So hopefully that cleared the air.
Yeah.
Get him back stable mentally on how guys feel about him. But, yeah, Coach T, he can put his stamp of approval on it. Like, ain't nothing like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I never think it's too late, though.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Ike. Let's put yourself back in the secondary now. Mm-hmm. And you're looking forward, and you're looking at two quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, mm-hmm. and you're looking at Dwayne Haskins. I know you've studied them, studied the film. I know you watch them in real time during the college seasons. Totally different skill sets.
Correct.
Haskins isn't really quick, but he's got a big arm and a big body. He doesn't run at all, really. And Kyler Murray's got a rocket, small body, and real quicks. And we've seen it on the baseball diamond and in the open field.
Right.
Give me the, because it's easy to talk about the good things, and I ran through them, but when you're peering in and watching them, give me the one thing from Murray, aside from his height, that you're really worried about, and the one thing from Haskins that you're really worried
about. See, I'm not worrying about nothing with Murray. See, I think...
Can't miss prospect? Can't miss.
Can't miss at all. Here's why he can't miss. As a GM, I'm looking at it, does he make NFL throws?
Yes, he does.
No doubt.
100%. Yep. So the hardest NFL throw is throwing from one hash to the opposite sideline.
And out.
Does he make that throw?
Yes.
Yes. Another throw, does he have enough confidence to throw it up the seam in between a linebacker or a safety? Yes.
Got confidence to burn.
He makes that throw. Another throw, can he throw it in the red zone in tight windows? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He make that throw. So as a GM, as a scout, they look at the height, the size, the hands.
Mm-hmm.
As a player, we're looking at it like, nah, this dude hit a real deal.
Yeah.
Like, he the same thing with Baker Mayfield. We thought Baker Mayfield was the real deal. Like, you ask the GM, they look at the height, like, everybody can't be 6'4", 6'5".
It's a lot of 6'4 stiffs in the NFL, by the way.
It's true.
It's a lot. So I'm looking at Murray like, okay, is he a football player?
Yeah.
Yes. So after I look at all that, is he making the throws as a defender? I'm looking at, let me see if the defensive guys on the sideline standing up when the offense come in. So now I'm looking at the sideline like, oh, the defensive guys standing up, not sitting down because they know this dude is electric.
Yeah, he about to do
so. Is he a leader? Do they follow him? Do they gravitate towards him? Yes.
Yeah.
You go back to Baker Mayfield. See what Baker Mayfield did. What is height, size, and speed?
Yeah.
So do Baker Mayfield throw the tight window throws? Yes. Can he throw it in the red zone? Yes. Can he throw it from one opposite hash to the other opposite hash? Yes. Does he have confidence in his arm? Yes. All right, let me look at the sideline to see if the defensive guys are standing up because they know he's electric. Yes.
Yeah. The whole stadium is,
hey,
really.
We only have about a minute here.
My bad, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
That was a good answer.
Are you buying the Cleveland Browns, speaking of Baker Mayfield? Because they got everything.
100. He's the X factor. Mm-hmm. Like, Baker Mayfield is one of the guys.
Yep.
He just happened to be the quarterback. And he's pretty darn good.
And that's rare, by the way.
Correct. It's real rare. Yeah. It's real rare.
You don't see that very often where the guys want to hang out with the quarterback. You just don't. It's different. You
so they're separate entity.
You know what he is, and they're going to take this and they're going to run with it. I know they're about to take it. He's a Jim McMahon.
Yeah, you're right.
He's just one of the guys.
Yeah, he was.
He's one of the guys.
I hope he's a little more talented than Jimmy.
I'm talking about personality-wise.
Yeah.
Personality-wise, can hang with defensive guys.
Yeah, you know, I got you.
Offensive guys, he's just one of those guys.
I like that.
That's good. Baker Mayfield. You didn't say much on Haskins, though. Give me 20 seconds on Dwayne Haskins.
I like him. We just got to understand he had a lot of 4-3 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Running short routes.
Yeah, Paris Campbell.
Just making plays. Mm-hmm. So now you got to watch, when you watch the tape.
Yep.
Is he making them throws, not on air, but in the game?
Yeah.
Murray made a lot more throws than he did.
He did it in one game.
Correct.
And I was doing that game.
You were there against Northwestern.
But it was Northwestern.
Yep. But they're slow. Relatively speaking.
Correct. It was the same zone. You see every single, it was the same zone every play.
Mm-hmm.
So after a couple series, he's like, I know that's going to be open because I just saw it open.
Right.
I didn't throw it, but I know it was going to be open this time because they run the same thing.
Yeah.
So do we throw guys open or do he throw when they open?
Would you draft him top 10 real quick if you need a quarterback? Would you take Dwayne Haskins?
I'd draft him top 20, not top 10.
See, to me, I wish I would have asked him that earlier. To me, what's the difference? You're still making him your quarterback. Like, 9 or 17? What's the difference? He's still your quarterback. He's still investing, a few bucks?
A few bucks.
All right, all right.
two is something happened during the season, or he's not what I thought he was. then maybe I can hold off a little bit. I can redshirt him.
Hey, thanks for coming in, man. No problem. Great job. Mike Taylor.
Thank you, man.
Two-time champ. Steeler. The Steelers, the dysfunctional mess. Just kidding. I'm just messing with you. Third hour coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.